We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
I get everybody was upset yesterday. I don't understand the reflexive nature of my team sucked, I'm going after the beat reporter. You're going to have to talk about the losses in postgame. There's a reason they have reporters there at the game. There's a reason they still do the Zoom, even though you're not. How are they doing those Zooms? Where are the reporters when they're asking those questions? Are they back
at
the hotel?
No, they're like upstairs in the press box.
It's a weird scenario. I don't understand how you can't figure out a way. You have fans in the stands, but you can't have reporters asking questions. I don't know.
Mary Kay accidentally left her camera on, and she looked like she was running around in the Blair Witch Project there at the postgame. I gotta admit that. I was looking down, going, turn your camera off, Mary Kay. Where the hell are you going?
Did you see her stocking feet?
No, we did not. I just saw her face, and she was looking around frantically, trying to get back to where she was supposed to be, I guess.
Look, I think because we had the question asked about Odell Beckham and his emotion and some of these questions, they're important not because it's all about just the question, but the way that the coaches react to all of this. And, you know, yesterday, I think the main takeaway from the press conference is you have a head coach who's not going to throw any of the players under the bus, not an Adam Gase situation. And sometimes maybe there's a way. Maybe there's a way where when they actually do throw a player under the bus, it matters, and it is for a purpose. And, you know, these coaches, they all have sometimes a hidden agenda of how they want their players to react and the stuff they want their players to hear. In this case, you have a head coach who's just flat out going to take all the blame when his quarterback or offensive line doesn't play well.
He's taking a lot of blame for this. And, I want to ask the question, who's this loss on? Is it on everyone? Is it on Stefanski? Is it on Baker? There's a clip here of Baker because I'm being accused of saying I'm making excuses for him. No, he played and he played poorly. But you can't tell me that his ribs did not affect him. You cannot tell me that it didn't, even though Baker doesn't really want to say as much.
Baker, how did your injury affect you in this game?
It didn't.
Okay, and when you took the shot toward the end of the second quarter, was there a discussion at halftime about whether you felt well enough to continue to play or anything like that? And what kind of went into that from your perspective?
Got off the ground, was ready to go. I'll be all right. There was no discussion. I was ready to go.
So that's Baker Mayfield not making any excuses for himself yesterday.
Yeah, and if anything, look, maybe we've made a few excuses for him. I call them justifications. I knew right away that QB1 was not going to be able to just step up and launch the football down the field and be able to scramble and use his mobility, which at times has been a huge advantage for him. We all knew that. We all have our two eyes. Does that mean you don't play the guy? I think that's a tough message to send this week, knowing what a big game, what a big opportunity. I think your head coach and your team put a game plan forth where they thought that they were still going to be able to take advantage of maybe some undisciplined run blitzes, maybe some guys running around, because, you know, the Steelers have given up big plays this year. But when they've needed to buckle down, they've been able to buckle down. It's a very interesting defense. We had a chance this week to talk with multiple people on the ground in Pittsburgh, and they said they've been disappointed by how undisciplined at times members of their defense was. So I think Stefanski and I think Van Pelt, they put together a game plan with Callahan where they thought they could take advantage of some of that. But then I think they realized very early on that their QB didn't really have it. And so what do you bench him right there after the first quarter? No, you can't do that. You can't wave the white flag there. But I also think that interception that Baker threw right off the bat, that became a pick six, I think that was so deflating. I think their inability to run the football so early on was deflating. And I think their defense actually was ahead of the offense for once. I think the defense gave Big Ben some issues. I know no one's going to want to credit anybody in a game that you get blown out like that. But I think in eventuality, when the offense cannot get a first down and cannot keep Baker upright, and they couldn't even run a block long enough to have Odell Beckham or Jarvis get open, that was it. They knew.
Honestly, after that first question, I was expecting denial after denial after denial. Like, how did that injury affect you? It didn't. Or well, what about when you took that shot? I didn't take a shot. I didn't get hit. What are you talking about? I was just expecting that the entire time because it was blatantly obvious to everyone that that injury was affecting him. You know, like, you could be honest here. You know, you could actually be honest.
Well, Steelers knew it too.
If he says that, then, you know, it's a thing for Cincinnati.
I know that it's excuses, but there's a way you can do that without making it as an excuse.
I think they have to think about themselves because this is, but you just mentioned it. I know we got to get to the phones here, but you just mentioned it yourself. It sounds like excuses. He's got to make sure it doesn't sound like excuses to his own team. And because he has paid attention to what media people have said in the past, I don't want him to think, well, I can't make excuses because of the media. There's people are going to say I'm making an excuse now. You know what you saw? What you saw was a guy who was hobbled from the very moment the ball was kicked off. You cannot tell me that was a healthy player playing out there, and that certainly that didn't have any effect into his play, and that should have an effect into the play calling, and it really didn't. There was a lot of stuff there that I didn't think that made sense, and then it got to 24-7, and then, well, we're going to run the ball and make sure we protect the guy. Okay. All right. Well, we'll get this one figured out with everybody. Let's go to the Drake. Drake in Cleveland, you're first up on the Fan.
Good morning. How you all doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Doing wonderful.
I just
want
to say, you know, I'm a diehard Browns fan. I done called up and argued with you guys on several occasions, but it ain't even that. You know, the team, I thought the team played well. I thought that defense actually held us in the game way longer than we were supposed to be in the game, but the quarterback just did not, like, his play did not allow the Browns to win, period.
What'd you think of the offensive line?
I thought the offensive line, I thought they held up for the most part. But,
well, you're drunk. You know, it was, you're still drunk.
Become one-dimensional.
Were you drinking last night? Drake, were you drinking last night?
Yeah, I was.
You got to sober up. You can't tell me that offensive line was good. You cannot tell me that.
No, I said I thought they held up. But once you put them in a situation where Pittsburgh can pin their ears back, anybody going to get them. Anybody going to get a hand to them.
And I'm saying they didn't even hold up. They didn't even hold up.
Third and long.
Stop making excuses for
Drake.
Baker.
Drake. See, that's where we got to. You just wanted to call up and call Baker Mayfield a bum. Just call him a bum. But don't sit there and tell me that the offensive line held up. Okay? Jack Conklin might as well be
Baker's
a certified
a
jockey in the Kentucky Derby right now. That's
that.
Fine.
He's
if you want to call the guy a bum, stop making
that's
excuses for everybody
for.
Else because you want to call the guy a bum. Stop making excuses for everybody else because you want to call the guy a bum. They can all be bums. Baker played like a bum yesterday, and so did the offensive line. Don't be sitting there making excuses for other people just because you want to call another guy a bum. You call a spade every single time. Bad's bad no matter what.
Listen, third and long for the Browns against most defenses is going to be trouble right now. The way that things are – I'm not going to say Baker's a bum, but he has some limitations right now. At this stage of his career, everybody says similar things about Baker that he has trouble seeing. He has trouble seeing out there. And if defenses can kind of hem him in, guys, there's only so many screen plays on third and seven you can throw to keep defenses off balance and have Tony Romo say, that's a great play call. That's a great screen pass. There's only so many times you can do that. Eventually, when it's third and long and your running game is not getting going and you're very conservative, let's just say what it is, they were running the ball yesterday on first and second down a lot because they were trying to protect their QB, especially when they realized early on that maybe he didn't have everything at his disposal. And so third and long, he's going back there. And those guys, the term, you hate to hear the cliche all the time about pinning the ears back.
Mm-hmm.
They were coming. And they just those little things that they did, that Tony Romo called it a little defensive game at times, where Watt would plow into his own guy and a couple of Browns offensive linemen to allow that free rush by any number of seven other guys that were coming to crush Baker Mayfield. And it's a smart defense. And those guys really start to take advantage in those situations. That's where the Steelers become an elite, really elite defense.
Scott in Cleveland, you're next up on the Fan.
What's going on, guys? Listen, I've been watching these games for a while now. And I came to the conclusion, I really got a question to propose to you, see if you could tell me any different. I don't think Baker is the franchise for this reason. And I get all the things like, okay, it's his fourth coach in 3 years. He faced Pittsburgh. He's a little injured. I get all that. But listen, I still haven't seen a game since he came in with the Jets that had that much electricity that reminded us this is our franchise quarterback. Like, I haven't seen him take over and win us a game. Like, he, don't get me wrong, he'll pass. He'll make a few good passes, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But what I'm saying to you is this, in the words of the great Stephen A., I don't believe at this point, maybe it might take another year or two, but I'm not trying to wait another year. We got the GM, that's looking good. We got the coach, that's looking good. So the only thing left is the quarterback. I just need him to win us a game. Like, go out there and say, no, I'm putting the team on my back like I'm Aaron Rodgers, like I'm LeBron James. I'm going to throw this ball. I'm not going to throw these interceptions. Well, Scott, I'm going to throw these touchdowns.
He has not been in a position to really do that. I mean, they played with a lead the last four games. I know they lost that lead to Washington, but they really played with a lead the last four games, and they've been blown out in the other two losses. He's not been in a situation to do that. I understand what you're coming at. It would make me feel a lot better as well. We lost Scott. It would make me feel a lot better as well. But there's right now, I got to get him to that situation to be able to do that. And then probably if he does it against Cincinnati, people are just going to say, you guys play like garbage against Cincinnati. So what you're really saying is you need him to do it against Baltimore or Pittsburgh or maybe even Tennessee coming up here in week 13. That's really what you're saying. And that's going to be difficult. He is in an incubation period. They're treating him like a rookie, and he can't make all the throws right now. That is not any sort of an excuse at all. But I'm not going to sit there and look past problems with other parts of the team just to go after him. That's not going to happen. And to sit there and say, we got the GM figured out. We don't have the GM figured out. The guy's been here less than a year. We don't have that figured out. Kevin Stefanski looks good so far, with the exception of yesterday, and he put that on himself as well. More of you guys coming up. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyme live on The Fan.
Well, the way this sets up, with them having a chance to be 5-2 after this weekend, I don't think that Stefanski's lost the team at all. And I don't think this is a total disaster for the rest of the year. The great thing is they've got great opportunities moving forward to continue to stay in the playoff hunt, continue to win games, and then hopefully allow your team to learn more, get better with the coaching, and hopefully figure out what's best for Baker, what works best for Baker in this offense by the time that you get to the end of the year and take on the Ravens and the Steelers in the final game of the year.
Is it bad that I did the schedule game during the break by myself and I told nobody else in here? And I was looking at their schedule and I went, I got 5 guaranteed wins in here. So they're at least 9-7 from what I'm looking at here. I mean, the schedule is the schedule. You can only play what they put in front of you. Like, you got back. The biggest threat you're going to have in the Meadowlands is going to be the turf. You play the Jets and Giants back-to-back. Technically, the Giants and the Jets. You play them back-to-back in weeks 15 and 16. I got 5 wins at least right here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I would have told you at the outset that they were going to be 9-7, you told me, because I did say this, you told me I was stupid. Now it's not good enough. Hey, I want them to play better against rivals too. I know it sucks. I know a lot of us are neighbors with Steelers fans or even family with Steelers fans, maybe even married to Steelers fans, and that sucks. So I get that there's a heightened sense. And also, Lyman, I got to know this. Just looking big picture here, and I want to get back to the phones on this game. We are, and I go to fans and I go, man, 9-7, you got to be willing to accept it. Then I remember, we're really a year behind where they should be. You know? We're really a year behind. Because I always say, well, you can't skip that next step. And Zach says it all the time, a lot of people, you just can't skip steps. The teams have to get there. And even if they don't have the best record, they didn't skip the step. Well, when you were 7-8-1, that's what made last year so pivotal. Because last year you were supposed to be 9-7, 10-6, somewhere in there. So fans' expectations, this is what sucks about it, because they were 6-10 last year, and I go, well, they weren't that good of a football team. But some of these fans' expectations, they are technically they're on time, are they not? It's just they made a very poor choice on who to be the head coach to lead this football team, and it was John Dorsey's Waterloo.
I'm telling you, scheduling can be more important than people even realize. I know sometimes we get carried away and we do the schedule game in the off season, and every year, you know, we start to look at how either the schedule makers screwed a team or took care of them, taking care of them. Think about the Houston Texans schedule right now, Kenny. Have you seen their first seven games?
I talked about the first four games. After that, I kind of forgot about that, yeah.
And then they had Tennessee yesterday, an undefeated Tennessee Titans team, and then they have Green Bay next week. Okay, they're going to be 1-6. I don't know how much better the Browns are than the Texans. I think they are. I think the Browns are better than the Texans. But 1-6, so what would the Browns' schedule be in that scenario? This is why it's important that they got off to the good start. And this is why it's important that they took advantage of some of those early games and games against Dwayne Haskins and a Joe Burrow who had like a few days to get ready for a nationally televised game. Like, that stuff is huge, and they took advantage of it. Old Browns teams may not have taken advantage of that. So I do think schedule matters, and they're fortunate. They are fortunate. Maybe last year they were unfortunate by having the brutal schedule to start out and starting out 2-6, where players can start to bail on a head coach and guys that aren't getting touches can get frustrated and you can have an emotional letdown. This way, I think they've already learned that, hey, you know what? We recovered from a terrible loss in the first game of the year and went on to win four straight. And you heard them hinting on that after the game yesterday. Some of the questions. Doug Lamorice was asking those questions in the post-game press conference. So now they've already rallied from a bad loss against someone in the division. Well, here we go again. You have the opportunity to do it again.
By the way, still the best start they've had since 1994.
Yeah.
Keith and Galleon, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this. You know, it didn't – Baker, they just tried to make him beat us yesterday, basically, was the bottom line. But you can't blame it really on the injury because they didn't make him throw into triple coverage, okay? He was well enough to play. He was able to suit up and play. So you can't blame that on injury, okay? I get it. He was beat up. Well, it's the NFL. You're not going to be 100% every week. Now, as far as Odell's antics on the sideline, who knows what's going on there? I don't know.
He's mad. That's what happened. He's mad. Odell went from looking like the Hall of Fame wide receiver, you know, against the Cowboys, to yesterday being a non-factor in the offense, and they couldn't even protect Baker long enough. Of course he's upset. Of course he's frustrated.
Did the offensive line play great yesterday? No. But to their defense, I mean, he stared down receivers too. So it could go both ways. Basic bottom line is we're not beating the top elite teams yet. We're not ready. I don't know what the problem is. We beat the garbage teams and we can't play, but we're going to have to beat those teams to win. All right, bye.
All right. Thank you very much, Keith and Galleon. Boom. Hey, out of here. Derek, Garfield Heights, you're next up on the Fan.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi.
If
morning.
If you put a dress on a pig, it's still a pig. This is your time to sit Baker and see what Case can do for the team.
So, wait, what are you saying here, Derek?
Yeah, but why? Why do you think it's nice? So you just don't believe in Baker at all. I think the coaching staff believes in Baker much more than you do, so the coaching staff's not going
to
do that.
Well, honestly, to be the man, you got to beat the man. You hung up on me last week.
Get him.
I hang up on you again.
Guys, this isn't hard.
Listen, if Baker is banged up and he can't practice this week and put together any confidence that they can actually run a game plan. Now, you're playing Cincinnati, and Cincinnati is just not a really good football team, but they can hang in there. You've seen them be able to hang in there certain weeks. Well, then I think maybe Stefanski learns from last week, and they say, Baker, it's just not smart. The question is, what happens to your team? What happens to everything around your team when you do something like that as a rookie head coach? And I think they have to analyze all of that before they make a decision to bench Baker because of his health. They're not benching Baker because he's just not good enough. They're not even close to making that statement right now. They're just not.
Tom,
I think that's fairly obvious, is it not, Kevin?
Yes, it is obvious. Tom in Alabama, you're next up on the Fan.
Yeah, I think his last point is the exact thing we need to think about. Is he going to be a top-notch quarterback? He's still doing some of the same things he did when he was a rookie, staring down receivers, happy feet. The thing is, they got to make a decision, I think, at the end of this year, whether they're going to do the option for his contract. And if this isn't the guy we need to keep long-term, play him this year, find out for sure everything he can and can't do, and then make an assessment from there. Personally, like I said, he's still making mistakes he made when he was a rookie.
I can't deny that, Tom. And thank you very much for the call. I think that because they've taken him back to rookie status. I'm not saying, listen, in some people, you're making excuses. He was hurt yesterday. He played in the game yesterday. He played poorly yesterday.
Yeah, does anybody disagree?
Nobody's saying it. I actually thought, if we're talking about this, and you can come after me for this, I actually thought it was a point of growth. I have seen him sit there. Now I am going to get a lot about it. What did I say? What did I say about Baker Mayfield after week one? Do we want to go back to the archives and go over that show? And what I said about that guy? And how I called him a fake? And how I thought that he punches down and he's really a 6-foot bully? Do we want to do this? Do you want me to do? Would that make everybody happy if I pulled that back out of there and told him to go shake his garbage at Kansas, who couldn't even beat a high school team in the state of Texas? But against grown men like Calais Campbell and like Cam Hayward, he goes out there and gets crushed. We could do that. I actually thought he showed some stones yesterday. He bothered to play. Or excuse me, not bothered. He tried to lead. He did try to be a leader. He's not making excuses for himself. He didn't say anything that was an excuse. He flatly refused. Yeah, there's a lot of slings and arrows. I don't know if he's the franchise quarterback. Right now, the arrow's pointing to no. Is that wrong, Tone? Okay.
No, I'm not. I'm not giving up on it at this stage. I don't see any reason to give up. Like, I get that, you know, Browns fans who've been so tortured over the years, they're going to just always assume the backup quarterback's better. We know that Case Keenum has, when he was with Stefanski, it was a different offense, but what, he went 11-3, went to the playoffs. So they're thinking that guy's better. I've seen Case Keenum the last few years. I don't know that he's any better than that. I don't know that anybody could, other than the fact you haven't seen him, so you just assume that he's going to be able to do it. I don't think you can say that at all. So why would you bail on your young quarterback this early?
Exactly.
And start to mess with the lack of stability that we've had all this time. You have a chance to be 5-2 next week.
4-2.
Why would you mess with that?
You're 4-2 with a chance to go 5-2. The only way Baker doesn't play next week is if he's not able to go physically. Basically, if he can't go. I know everybody's upset because, again, we lost to neighbors, we lost to friends and family, and they're all texting us, and I am in a full shoot right now. But I'm not going to say things that are patently false. He went out there, he tried to lead. It did not go his way. He looked like garbage. He said he looked like garbage. Stefanski said he didn't look good. Everybody else says he looks like garbage. He looks like garbage. But was this the same type of thing we saw last year when he was trying to shave his face 3 separate times during the game, looking for anything when he showed up out of shape, 15 pounds overweight, making a bunch of commercials before the game, having all the other rumors flying around the guy? No, it's not. I'm not going to say what's not true. So I know everybody's mad because they went out and they did get their asses kicked yesterday. Make no mistake about it. But the game plan was bad and the offensive line was bad. And yes, Baker Mayfield was bad. We can call multiple things bad. Multiple things were bad. It wasn't like the team played well. And this is the one I keep getting on the phones. Well, they played well in spite of Baker. Where did they play well? Where did they play well? Terrence Mitchell might as well have just been in a track meet. He should just keep running. He should have ran all the way back from Pittsburgh. He was trying to keep up with everybody. Hell, they focused on that. I thought there was going to be a horrible day for Andrew Sandejo. I didn't see him at all yesterday. It was all Mitchell. Denzel Ward bit on that one play. Good God, how wide open can you be? How wide open can James Washington be? You got beat on the ground. You got beat through the air. They kicked your ass on the offensive line. No. If you want to call Baker bad, we can call Baker bad. But don't sit there and make excuses for everybody else just to call Baker bad. No.
Even the good plays yesterday, even Hooper over the middle getting clocked. And even Romo said, man, to see a tight end get knocked like that, you just don't see that. They were even making you feel the pain, and you were feeling their presence on the good plays. So imagine the bad plays. It looked like there were 12 defenders out there for Pittsburgh at times. And all that cute stuff that you had tried, well, they tried a little bit of it, and then they shelved that real quick because they almost got Baker killed on that screenplay where it looked like JV versus varsity. It was that bad.
Joe in Cleveland. Joe, you're next up in the Fan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hi.
Bad game yesterday, but the reason why it's all pointing at Baker and everybody feels it's pointing at Baker is because everybody been seeing that it's really we've been winning in spite of Baker. And now the magnifying glass is on Baker, and everybody's seeing – lack of skills and the lack of reading defenses that he has.
How do you win in spite of Baker? He didn't turn the ball over for two.
Let me ask you, which games do you think they won in spite of?
I'm going to tell you how we won in spite of Baker. We won in spite of Baker because of our running game. Baker is the best quarterback to hand the ball off. But Baker is the worst quarterback.
So you're saying that last year, so you're saying all last year that the Tennessee Titans won in spite, hold on, they won in spite of Ryan Tannehill because he turns around and handed the ball off to Derrick Henry. So yesterday they won in spite of Ryan Tannehill when Derrick Henry had over 200 yards rushing again.
You know it.
No, you know you're wrong there, Joe. Thank you very much for the call.
I've seen
at least
enough.
He's consistent.
I've seen enough out of well, then he only thinks there's four good quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
Tannehill, I mean, the confidence of Tannehill on that final drive yesterday in regulation and the confidence in him from Vrabel to be able to throw that ball into the end zone. They have confidence in Tannehill now. It's building. They might not have had all that confidence last year when he took over from Mariota. So these things can change over time, but Tannehill is absolutely looking like the guy that had all that talent that you know, we had people on this station talking about Tannehill like crazy. And don't think Joe wasn't texting me over the last few days about that.
He don't text me anymore. He says he texted me, and I never got back to him. I go, well, when did you text me? And I'm sorry. I meant to text you back. I should say something.
I don't think that they won the Washington game or the Cowboy game in spite of Baker Mayfield. It'd be one thing if Baker was throwing three interceptions and they win a game. Like, that's not really happening. You know, the Colts' first half, he was 18 of 24. I thought he was a little wild, and I'm like, oh, 18 of 24. That's not in spite. That's not in spite of all. Now, I still have major questions about Baker, and I've talked about that extensively over the last 2 years, but it's not nearly enough to give up on a young quarterback to go to what? Case Keenum? And we know who, guys, we all know who Case Keenum is.
If you're going, guys, exactly. If we're going to Case Keenum, we're going to a different quarterback during the offseason.
And you're giving up on the season.
Yes, they're 4-2.
You pretty much are.
They're 4-2.
Yes, exactly.
They are 4-2. They are 2 games above 500. If the playoffs started right now, which Lyman and Owen figured this out, they'd be going to Kansas City. Okay, maybe we don't want to necessarily have that happen, but they'd still be in the postseason, okay?
But it'd be the playoffs for the first time since 2002.
That actually, Lyman's right. That would be a fun week.
So much fun. No one believes in us.
Exactly.
Week.
Yeah.
Come on.
That would be
not
a good time.
Now the week after,
surprise
so
people.
Fun.
God, if we did surprise them, I'd die
any
of a heart attack.
Given Sunday,
I'd just die of a heart attack and wouldn't be able to enjoy that.
Hey,
that,
Kansas
that
City was down. Was it Kansas City down 24-0 last year?
Oh my God, that's right. They were down twice. they were down by 10 going in with 8 minutes left to go in that game on the Super Bowl. Now Owen knows. Look at the back of his hand. Yeah, they'd be going to Kansas City if the playoffs started right now. They're 4-2. Coming up next, Kenny Kidd had an observation yesterday. No, not about Boomer Esiason. Kenny Kidd had an observation yesterday that actually wrote in my game notes. I actually wrote it down. I want to bring this up.
Was it that pick?
No, it's not.
Oh, no, not the pick?
It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.